It is Friday, June 2. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Last night, the Women's Origin, New South Wales, well, they'll need to win by 9+ to retain the Shield in Townsville later this month after Queensland. 18-10 last night there at Combank Stadium. Winger Julia Robinson had a double in front of 12,972. The Sky Blues lost captain Isabel Kelly late in the first half to a throat injury, and she was taken to hospital. So certainly thoughts with her, and hopefully she recovers well from that nasty-looking knock there that she copped. Lots of chat about Origin this morning. Still, the fallout continues, particularly for New South Wales. And we've got Adam Pengilly coming on shortly as well. Tonight, it's the Tigers and the Raiders at Campbelltown. By the way, John Bateman plays his former club in the NRL for the first time. So that's just a little side note that I guess has been lost in the fallout from Origin this week. If there was no Origin this week, that would be certainly have got more coverage.
Yeah, I don't think John had a fallout with the playing group. And I think Ricky still gets on really well with John Bateman. I think that the fact that he wanted to go back to England during COVID, and everyone understood that situation. There was some talk about him going, and I think there was some talk about him wanting to leave the Raiders to go and play in Sydney. Mm. I think that was the talk.
Be near the beach.
But that didn't transpire like that. He went back home. Circumstances have changed. The Tigers are happy they've got him back in the team, and he came out here, missed the first few weeks, obviously, but he's been back in that team now, and they're playing good football, the Tigers. They'll be tough to beat tonight. There's no doubt about that. But the Raiders, coming off a great victory last weekend, the biggest story out of that game, obviously, was Corey Harawira-Naera, and hopefully Corey's going well. But the fact that Papali'i and Jack Whiten aren't playing Origin football this year is a massive bonus for the Raiders at this time of the year.
We've got the NBA Finals starting at 10:30 this morning. Papa, you a Denver or Miami? You'd be a Miami person.
Nah, Miami.
Yeah. You're on the heat. You're in the sunshine.
I want to see Miami win. I think their season has been phenomenal. As Brad just said, no one picked this. No one expected them to make the final. So come on. Yeah. Come on, the Heat.
Yeah, if anyone had a Quinella ticket for these two teams to be in the finals from some time ago, it is definitely your shout this weekend. Alex Wilkinson, A-League stalwart with Sydney FC most recently over the last, six, 7 years or so, has retired. And we got Mossy coming on later this morning. We'll preview the A-League Grand Final, Melbourne City and Central Coast, the FA Cup Final, which is a Manchester Derby's this weekend, also the Scottish Cup Final. And Ange Postecoglou, his Celtic side, looking for a treble, and he keeps being linked to Tottenham. He's got a very interesting off-season ahead of him, looking to win another trophy, though. Melbourne and Carlton starts the AFL round at the MCG tonight. Michael Hooper will be farewelled tomorrow night at Allianz Stadium, his last home match against Moana Pacifica as well. Fireburns out of the Queensland Oaks, which is tomorrow. And to talk some footy first and foremost is Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. How are you, Adam?
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Probably not a happy Friday for Brad Fittler and the New South Wales players still 48 hours on as the post-mortem continues. It's in full swing. So what changes? I know we're still got a couple of weeks of footy and to determine injuries and anything else, but what changes, all being equal at the moment, can you envisage Brad Fittler making for game two?
Yeah, I can't see him making a whole host of changes, Jared, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think there'll be a little bit of tinkering with a couple of positions, in particular on the bench. There's been some talk about James Tedesco, hasn't there, the last 24 hours. It's been savage, some of the blowback on Teddy's performance. And I tend to stand by the fact that, yeah, he hasn't been in the best of form this year, but he's got some credit in the bank, and I think he can turn it around before game two. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that sentiment, but I still think there's a spot for him in the New South Wales set up for the rest of this series. So I'm staying with him, but I think there's probably guys from the Rabbitohs going to come into contention tomorrow with their game against the Gold Coast. What do we do with Damien Cook? Does Kian Kalamatangi come into the picture now he's fit? Cody Walker, does he come into the picture somewhere and maybe get a bench spot or something like that to add a bit of X factor from the bench? So we've been talking about the pantherisation of this New South Wales side the last few years. Do we need a strong Rabbitohs flavour now?
I'm not too sure. Just on that, though, Adam, what happens if the Rabbitohs get beaten this weekend?
Yeah, good question.
Do you still just put those guys in?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about if they get beaten one game, wasn't it? No, but they
got beaten last week too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But Campbell Graham didn't play last week. Did Clive Matangi play last week? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
He was his first game back, wasn't it?
Yep.
So, you know, there's a lot of guys who are obviously haven't been completely 100% fit lately. And South's form has probably tapered off a little bit the last couple of weeks with that loss to Parramatta and then obviously went down to Canberra last week. But I think they're still pretty much the standard.
So you go from being the Panthers to the South Sydney?
No, I'm not saying that, Loz, at all. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think you completely change the model of the team. But I'm just saying you can maybe have one or two extra guys from that team that can come into the picture. Like, are you going to pick Tommy Turbo now? Like, he's not going to play a game until they choose a team for game two. Like, he's got an 11-day stand down right now. Do you pick him?
Yeah, that'll be a big discussion point because you'd have your reservations about picking him based on the fact that, you know, he wasn't great the other night, didn't get many opportunities and won't play another game. So you've got to weigh it all up and see what other people bring to the table. And if you've got Latrell coming back into the team, you've got a guy like Steve Crichton who played extremely well, very well last Wednesday night. I thought he was one of New South Wales' best. Do you drop him?
Hard question. Very hard question. My personal preference is if Latrell comes back into the fold and he's fit, I'm playing him in the centres. I think he gives you such an advantage in the centres. I know he can play fullback and people are going to say he should be playing fullback ahead of Teddy, but he just gives you that strike and a bit of X factor out wide and you've still got a gun fullback in Tedesco there. Stephen Crichton, Campbell Graham and Tom Trbojevic might be three going into one if Latrell's fit. That's going to be the question mark, isn't it, Loz? I would have thought.
Yeah.
And then we look at a guy like Spencer Lenu. Like, he's coming back to fitness now. He's had that really unfortunate injury a couple of weeks ago. He can give you that real punch off the bench if you need it and just play for 25, 30 minutes. And in terms of impact, he's almost the best impact forward in the NRL, I would have thought, off the bench. So, yeah, Freddie's got some big decisions to make in the next week or two. I'm still saying there's not going to be mass change. There's not going to be five or six or seven changes, but I think there definitely will be a couple of minor tweaks to that team for game two.
Adam, what about Queensland? We haven't spoken much about them. They've got some injury concerns. They would probably say they weren't at their best as well, but they found a way to win. Do they pick and stick? Do they make changes?
Yeah, I think they'll stick with the majority of the team, Clarkie, pending fitness, obviously. Selwyn Cobbo's probably the big concern for them at the moment with a little hip problem. They'll need to find another winger there if he's not deemed fit. But I found a really interesting one in the reports in the News Limited papers today that Kalyn Ponga has virtually told Billy Slater doesn't want him to be considered for the rest of the series.
Really?
Yeah,
jeez.
Well, do you think that's going to happen or not?
Oh, if something happened to Rhys Walsh, I think he'd be back into that team, wouldn't he?
It's a moot point right now because Rhys Walsh has got that spot in the number one jumper. But if Rhys Walsh is injured in the next week or two, surely Kalyn wants to play Origin, you would have thought. I know he's saying he wants to concentrate on Newcastle and he feels like he owes a debt to the Knights, not having played much this year. But it's a big call, isn't it?
Oh, massive. Oh, just on that, and this is a
how's
side
that
note.
Work? He didn't feel that way before they picked Rhys Walsh.
Now
all of a sudden he feels that way, does he?
Because he's not going to get back in the team. Oh, I'm not available.
I find that a little bit weird. The other thing I'm starting to, not find weird, Adam, but we're starting to see more players withdraw from selection in Origin teams. Does this open it up that maybe down the track we're going to have players have more pressure put on them to not play representative football? And what does that eventually mean for State of Origin?
I certainly hope not, Loz. I certainly hope not. I think it's, you know, apart from playing for Australia and playing Test footy, it's pretty much the pinnacle of the game, isn't it? Playing State of Origin. And I know clubs want to exert a little bit of pressure on their players, and obviously they're the primary employers. And we've seen this blowback in the last 12 to 18 months about clubs saying, well, why are these guys going into camp for 10 days? 10 days is too long. You can restrict it to 7 days. I know people have their varying opinions on that, but I do understand where you're coming from, Loz, in terms of clubs sort of saying, you know, hey, you've been out injured for a while, why don't you stick around and play for us? But my personal opinion is, if you're a Queensland or New South Welshman and you're available to play Origin, you should be playing. I think only in the very rarest of circumstances should you be withdrawing from availability for Origin. And I just found that story about Ponga this morning really fascinating, to be honest.
So have I.
Much as Rhys Walsh falls over next week and does an ankle or does a knee or something like that, heaven forbid, we don't want that to happen. But is Kalyn Ponga really going to sit there and say, oh, no, I'm still not available?
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
If Brad Fittler went and knocked on Jack Whiten's door now? Would he still say, I don't want to play?
He'd be a perfect utility, Clarkie, right now.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine if Freddie says, mate, you're playing good footy. You've made your decision that you're leaving the Raiders.
I'd be making a phone call.
You're a different player now. We need you at 14. Don't tell me Jack's going to go, Freddie, thanks for the call. Thanks for knocking on the door. It's not for me. Jack will be like, mate, you knock, I'm here.
How's that conversation go with Canberra, though, Clarkie? That's the thing. Once he's told them that he's unavailable for rep footy, and he's concentrating completely on Raiders.
Somehow, I reckon you're at the right club. Because I reckon if any coach would understand, it'd be Ricky Stewart.
Yeah. Mm. And he's leaving Canberra at the end of the year.
Mm. So, Loz, you would make that phone call.
Yeah, I'd ring Jack.
And go, mate, if it's a good
It's just a phone call you'd make.
Definitely.
Mate, in this situation,
Freddie has to win or you've got no job.
You've got to win. It's no different to what Wayne Bennett did years ago, making a phone call to Alfie Langer.
Exactly
over there
right.
in England. Mate, when you're desperate and you've got a player there sitting that you know will be in your best 17, I would be making the call. I would have Jack in my 17. I've said that from day one. So if I think he's in my best 17, I'm making a phone call and saying, Jack, what do you reckon, mate?
There's a headline for you, Adam.
Jack might say, no, I'm happy with my decision and I'll play. That's sweet. Not a drama.
Jack's
no
not one saying needs that, to
know. No one needs to know, but I would be making that call.
Jack's not saying that.
And you know better than anyone, as a player, like I'm thinking Suncorp Stadium, everything on the line,
100.
Exactly what you play footy for, that atmosphere in this situation, you dangle that carrot, you're there, aren't you?
Well, you get your last Jack chance in, doing it. You bring Latrell back in. Anyway.
100.
Anyway.
How many changes are you making lots of games?
You try not to make too many, mate. You've picked the side that you think can win.
Yeah.
And you think that you don't want to be making too many changes going to Lang Park.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be blooding too many rookies up there either.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. I'm not as downcast on New South Wales as champions.
I think they win, mate.
Other people are. I think they're a big chance of turning it around in game two. I know people are going to scoff at that, but they weren't a long way away in Adelaide on Wednesday night, and they played poorly.
Yeah.
So Queensland have got a couple of injury concerns. I think they can turn it around. I'm not saying they will, but I think they're not as far away as what people are saying.
No, I agree with you there. I actually think they will. I think the criticism that they copped, if they're all okay, the people that they want to bring into the team, I think they can go up there with a strong mentality and an up yours to everyone and get the job done. Because there'll be no one... Their brothers, sisters, aunties, uncles, mums, dads, none of them are probably believing as well that they can win deep down. So it's got to come down to those 17 that actually stuff everyone else. We can win this game and have that attitude. And, mate, they'll get it done.
Jerome Luai's hair has been in the headlines again.
How was this not fined, Jared? Like, how was this not fined on Wednesday night with Reece Walsh with the hair pull? Like, I know it got swept up in all the other storylines that came out of Origin, but I just wanted to raise this point this morning. We've had a couple of guys inadvertently be penalised on the field and for pulling hair and whatever else over the course of the NRL season so far this year. I couldn't say there was anything but deliberate from Reece Walsh there on Wednesday night, and it slips through to the keeper. No, I'm being serious, Clarkie. Like, I know.
You're 100% right. It's a great. This is the conversation I've had with Loz a million times. I don't understand how you just press a button and say, okay, we're going to referee. The rules are different at State of Origin.
I know, but I like it like that.
Yeah, I know you do. You say it all the time. You do. But it just to me, as a lover of rugby league, I go, well, I like it too, but can't we just ref like this at the NRL? Play on. Pull hair, have a punch up, spear tackle, couple of shoulder barges. I don't care. Get on with it. But at Origin, the rules are there are no rules. And then at NRL, it's like, mate, school principal, here
bunker,
I come.
Bunker, bunker.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I just saw this on Wednesday night and I thought, he deliberately pulled his hair there. There's nothing else but deliberate from what he did.
You can see by his reaction afterwards. He sort of lets go and goes, oh, I didn't mean it.
I know it is wrong, Adam, to say this, but I do. Do you like to see it refereed differently or not?
Of course I do. Look, I love it.
I know that's not the popular thing to say.
But, I know it's not. It's not the politically correct thing to say these days, but I love they can push the boundaries as far as they possibly can in Origin. But I just saw this incident, and when there was no charge from the match review committee, I thought, Were they watching the same game as me or what? I don't know.
No, you're right. You are right. It should have been something.
Find us a winner tomorrow, please.
Race 10, number 9, Miss Hellfire, the best in the program for me at Rose Hill. Jared, I thought she was really good last start, very consistent sort of horse that had been struggling to break through. Now she's broken through. She goes up a little bit in weight, but I think she finds a really suitable race. So I'm going to be very patient, waiting to the last race of the day there at Rose Hill. But race 10, number 9, Miss Hellfire, the best bet on the program for me to go back-to-back.
Thanks, mate.
See you, boys. Enjoy the weekend.
Sky Racing Queensland form analyst Michael Maxworthy joining us. Maxie, a very good morning.
G'day, good morning to you. Yeah, we've got a great card coming up at headquarters at Eagle Farm tomorrow. The weather's been so good to us so far during the Queensland Winter Carnival, and it's going to be perfect weather by the looks of it tomorrow for Queensland Oaks Day. And then we're only 1 week away from the big Stradbroke meeting.
And, of course, the big story being Fireburn and its scratching yesterday.
Yeah, that was a shock. I couldn't believe that. I think after the roses a fortnight ago, when she totally dominated, everybody was looking at her as the main chance tomorrow, despite the fact that she'd drawn wide. But the Keurig up here have mandatory testing of horses competing in Group 1s, and they weren't satisfied with her yesterday. She didn't pass. In fact, they said she was 2.5 lame out of 5. Gary Portelli said that that's pretty much her, and he knows her well. He said it hasn't bothered her in the past, but they withdrew her straight away. So that certainly opens up the Oaks a little bit.
What about in the Morton Cup, mate? Who do you like?
The Morton Cup, I'm going to go with Clemenso for Team Hawks. Lozzie's had 12 starts, 5 wins, and a further 5 placings. He's one of these sprinters on the way up. He's got to go up another level to the Morton Cup's Group 2 standard, and I like him coming off Gosford, that takeover target the other day around that tight-turning track to the much bigger track at Eagle Farm. He's drawn a good barrier, and I think he's going to be hard to hold. At Quantico, putters are all over him because he was a good thing beaten in the Hortensia at Scone, but I'm just going to play Clemenso 7-11 each way in the Morton Cup.
What's your other best bets on the card, Maxie?
We're going to make it 6-3 Military Experts, around about $4, rather $3.70 now. Military Expert last spring ran third to Tuvalu in the two-rack handicap. A Group 1 was only beaten a length. Third up tomorrow, McDonald on, drops in the handicaps. I think it's the best bet on the card, 6-3 Military Expert. One of the bit of a price for the fillies and mares, race 5, number 11, Osmose, for Tim Clark, Waterhouse Swap. Now, she's $12. She's a French import. Her two starts here in Australia so far have been good. And I think in a race that's totally void of speed, I think she'll go forward and be hard to run down. She's around about $12. So the best is 6-3 Military Expert. The best play each way, 5-11 Osmos. And the one that I'm really keen on now in the Oaks is 8-3 Renaissance Woman.
This is a good race too, Maxie. The Magic Millions National Classic. Who do you like in that?
The National Classic. I just felt that French horse of Waterhouse Fox was in the right race, Osmos. She was on pace at the Sunny Coast in the feature race of fillies and mares a few weeks ago, and I thought she held on quite well. And that particular race told me that she's got a little bit of gate speed, a bit of tactical speed. So I think she can make good use of the inside barrier and be handy tomorrow. So in that Magic Millions race, Osmos on an each way basis.
Okay, so just recapping Maxie's selections. His best, race 6, number 3, Military Expert, 370 with Tab. He's valued there, 5-11. Race 5, number 11, Osmos, $12 to win, 3-10 the place. In the Oaks, race 8, number 3, Renaissance Woman, $3.60. And in the Morton Cup, race 7, number 11, Clemenso, to beat Quantico there tomorrow. Has been well documented, that very unfortunate tail out of the Scone race. But Clemenso, $8.50 to win, $2.50 the place. Will be a great day at the farm there tomorrow, Maxie. Looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you, Jared. Have a good weekend, fellas.
Alex Demonor was beaten in straight sets overnight this morning at the French Open against his Argentinian opponent in 2 hours and 45 minutes on court. What about this text? So I got home from work yesterday. There was water all through the house. Apparently a pipe burst in the ceiling. And no, I'm not blaming Teddy, says Peter. Good on you, Peter. Thanks for that. But this one as well, Loz. What would the is there a case with what could have been with your filly giving Renaissance Woman's price in the Oaks? There's not a lot between the two. For the Queensland Oaks, Foxy Cleopatra. Yeah. She was never sort of going this way. Well, she was initially, but then you were going to be safe for the spring in Melbourne.
Initially, we thought the autumn in Sydney, the Oaks. Mm. Then we sort of had it on the back burner after she got injured that it might be coming around a bit too quick. So we'll aim for the winter up there in Brizzy. But then she suffered another injury. So then it was more about the spring.
Horse ownership. Yeah. Nothing like it, is there? Now, we've got Phil Moss coming up shortly. We've got your multi open as well.
Yes, we are.
What's that?
So we're going to Flemington Race 7 tomorrow. This is an imported horse. We had it in the multi once before, and I think it was over about a 1,600-metre race. Mm. A bit too short, but the further the better. It's over 2,000 this one. So race 7, Flemington, number 14, Shahar, to run top 2. Into race 9 at Rose Hill tomorrow at number 16, African Daisy, to run a place. And if you like that BSB multi, that's paying $9.
$9, Tab app, Tab website, click on sport and today's offers. The Memorial Tournament on the PGA Tour is underway. Matt Wallace, Englishman, 4 under par, 68 in the clubhouse with the joint lead with Jordan Spieth, who's on the final hole. He's also 4 under par. Now, there's a host of players 3 under, including Rory McIlroy, who's also on 18. Best of the Aussies, Adam Scott, shot a 2 under 70 to be just the 2 strokes off the pace. Last night, the Women's Origin, 18-10, Queensland, victorious for the second time in just over 24 hours there in front of nearly 13,000 at Combank Stadium. Julia Robinson had a double. The Sky Blues lost captain Isabel Kelly late in the first half to a throat injury, and she was taken to hospital. So fingers crossed that all is okay there. But we were speaking about it earlier this morning. The thing I really noticed last night is the difference in the ruck. Just there's just no crap. Like we see,
well,
unfortunately,
it's
in the men's game.
Football. It's
tackle, get up, play
the
ball.
Tackle, get up, play the ball. So it's fast and it's exciting. Mm. And the skill level of the girls has obviously improved out of sight. They compete very hard. And it was a good game of footy. Yeah, there was a few errors. But I think overall, Queensland would be wrapped with getting that result last night because they were the underdogs. New South Wales were heavily favoured to win that game. It's a best of two. Should be a best of three, but eventually they will have that. But this year it's the best of two, which they've increased it from just a one-off game. And New South Wales have to win this next game by 8 or more points. Otherwise, Queensland will reclaim that title. So New South Wales are the current Shield titles, title holders, but New South Wales, yeah, they weren't at their best last night. Well done to Queensland. For the Blues, though, there was a real concern for Isabel Kelly. She copped a knock to the throat region, so hopefully she's okay and hopefully she can be a part of game two.
Yeah, they've got to do it the hard way as well in Queensland. Now, the lone test between Ireland and England at Lord's last night, England flying because they've rolled Ireland for 172. Stuart Broad took 5 and a 1 for 152 in response. And Bazball Pup, they're going at 6.08 and over after 25 overs.
Yep, like it. Good toss to win by the looks of it. I didn't see a ball, but England won the toss, sent Ireland in, knocked them over as expected. You'd like to think England are winning this test match, but the way they're playing, again, they set a tone a while back, and they're living up to it. Aggressive approach with both bat and ball. Easier to do against the team. Not as easy to do against an attack like Australia. No disrespect to Ireland, but I think in test cricket particular, there's still a fair gap between playing this game against Ireland versus 5 test matches against Australia. So I think they'll look to be positive against the Aussies, there's no doubt about it, and they'll look to take them on, especially if conditions suit, if it's good batting conditions. But you'd like to think Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, Boland, Lyon, particularly their experience and knowledge in those conditions, all played as a group now. They've played a lot of test cricket. We know what England's going to throw at us. Boys will be ready.
Just on that then, Pup. As a captain, obviously you've got your plans, all right? You know how you're going to bowl to them. But now, with the way England are playing with this Baz ball, are you looking to be more aggressive with your field placings? Or do you start conservatively? What's your thought process?
I'm taking it to them, Loz. I'm going the complete opposite to what every other country has done. I'm going harder at England. I'm being more aggressive. I'm allowing them to go at six and over, but I'm saying go for it. We'll bowl you out. I don't care if it's 250 in five overs. I don't care how hard you go. We're going to bowl you out.
Yeah.
So as an attack and with my captaincy, I'd be thinking I want 20 wickets.
Yeah.
I don't care if his game's over in 2 days or 5 days.
So what would be one field position that you normally wouldn't do at the start of a test match that you go, yep, I'm going to do this?
No, well, I wouldn't change.
Oh, so you wouldn't change,
yeah. I wouldn't be having deep points or deep square leg because, you know, England are looking to take on Stark, for example. I'd be saying, no, I'm keeping a bat pad. I'm telling Stark, you still use your bounce. I want you to be aggressive and get stuck in. If they take on the pull shot or the hook shot, so be it. You get your bounce all right, you'll hit it straight down fine leg's throat. That right area when there's movement with that new ball, I'm keeping my three slips in a gully. I'm keeping cover open, saying, go for it, boys. Play that big cover drive, and I hope you nick it off. I'm not going into my shell and thinking, okay, like a lot of the other teams that have played England. And again, conditions play a big part in this, but they would have point out because they've hit a couple of boundaries. Where again, when you're taking a bowling unit on, there's risk. So my job as captain is to communicate with my bowler to know what our plans are against that individual batsman. Then it's my job as captain to set the right field, to take wickets, to bowl England out. So if you're looking to play a big cover drive, great. Three slips of gully, I'm keeping point up, a little bit finer. So outside edge, I've got blokes in position to take catches. If you go four, 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 nick, I win. I don't mind if every batsman makes 20 off four balls. Couldn't care less. You know, so I think Australia need to go the complete opposite to how other teams are playing against England and give it absolutely back to them. Same. That's why I'm picking David Warner. I'm saying, Davey, if Stuart Broad bowls you a full wide one first over, take it on. That's how he plays his best cricket. You know, Labuschagne can bat time, but still aggressive. Steve Smith, still the best batsman in Test cricket in the world. Usman Khawaja, in terrific form. Mate, these blokes don't sit there and block. You know, look, Cameron Green, coming in number six, just scored 100 in an IPL game off 40 balls. We're as aggressive as anyone.
Mm.
If we back ourselves and play our natural game with both bat and ball, I reckon we're in for a great series, competitive, aggressive cricket. But the team that backs down will be the team that loses.
Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, Middo. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. And
you were
great,
expecting a dusty voice, weren't you?
I didn't know what to expect, actually, because you're a professional, but, you know, when you're in amongst your peers, so to speak, and some old mates, you're probably going to have an ale or two, aren't you?
Oh, I definitely had an ale or two, but I was a good boy. I behaved myself, and it was a fantastic night, to be fair. And look, the APL have come in for some stick this year, none more so than around the grand final and where it's going to be played. But it was a really good, well-organised, glitzy, glamorous night. It was exactly what you'd want from an end-of-year awards.
Was Craig Goodwin a surprise winner or an expected winner?
Well, I think he was expected, Loz. For obviously, his form absolutely warranted the award. And I know it's for the A-League season, but you know what he did at the World Cup as well. And he started this season with osteitis pubis. And there was real doubt whether he was going to be able to start the season, complete the season, let alone make the Socceroos and have the impact he did on the world stage. But the other thing with these awards, as you know, is you know, there's in good sides, quite often players take votes off each other.
Yeah.
And I think that shows just how dominant Craig was for Adelaide United, because there was no one else really. You know, they had a good season. They dipped out in the semi-final against the Mariners. But there was no one else really from Adelaide who really put their hand up, apart from maybe Joe Gauci, the goalkeeper. But I think Craig was a standout winner. His acceptance speech was just brilliant. Raw emotion, vulnerability, authenticity. And that was the theme of the night. So full credit to him. And Alex Chidiac won the A-League Women's Player of the Year Award, plays for Melbourne Victory. She'll be a star at the World Cup for the Matildas coming up. She's over in America at the moment playing, keeping fit, so she wasn't there to accept the award. But, yeah, great night overall. And Carl Viet, Coach of the Year for the men's. Mark Torcaso, the Western United coach, got the women's coach gong for taking Western United all the way to the grand final in their first ever season.
Before we preview the grand final, Alex Wilkinson, I guess this was expected. He's retired. 21-year senior career, more than 600 matches for club and country. Absolute stalwart in the A-League and someone you had a fair bit to do with over the time, Mossy.
Yeah, I did. I named Wilco captain of the Northern Spirit youth team when he was 16, much to his father, Rob's chagrin at the time. He actually asked me, Mossy, are you sure you know what you're doing? He was the youngest player in the team at the time, and the rest is history. My answer to that, Loz, was no, I've got no idea. I'm just faking it till you make it. But no, look, it through his career, he was just a natural leader. And how good am I going? I walked in last night. Wilco was one of the first people I saw. I said, so, mate, you're saddling up again next year? He says, you haven't read the press yet, have you?
Oh, dear.
So that was a good start to the night for me. But, no, look, he really is a legend. He won everything there is to win, you know, collectively, individually, great leader. He's the type of ex-player now that the game needs to wrap their arms around and develop into a serious administrator, because I think Wilco's got all the skills and the personality, nature and temperament to run the game one day, just as Danny Townsend has as an ex-National League player. I think Wilco's got the same runway. So great career, deserves all the plaudits he gets. Not one person in the game or around the game has got a bad word to say about him. I think that's testament to him and his family.
What about this grand final, buddy? Melbourne City versus the Mariners. Who wins? What's the score? Who's your MVP?
Wow, Clarkey, this is a tough one, mate. It really is. If there's one team that can knock Melbourne Victory off in a one-off game, it's the Mariners. I'm tipping the Mariners to cause a boil over in 90 minutes.
Come on, the Mariners.
Right? If they don't win in 90, I think Melbourne City will get them. But this Mariners side is very settled. Speaking to both coaches last night, and by the way, both grand final teams were there last night for the early part of the evening, which I thought was fantastic. But yeah, speaking to both coaches, Nick Montgomery, very, very settled with his team. Rado Vidasic still with a couple of decisions to make. Melbourne City, go in as clear favourites, with the bookies. But if I was putting a couple of dollars on, I'd back the Mariners in 90. But if they don't get the job done in 90, I think Melbourne City will get the job done in extra time or penalties.
I know they've copped a fair bit of criticism, Mossy, for bringing the game up here to Sydney, but it looks like it's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, I think 26,000 tickets sold for I think a capacity at CommBank of around the 30 mark. Mm. So, yeah, look, the Mariners, thank goodness for the APL, and this is no disrespect to Adelaide whatsoever, but thank goodness the Mariners qualified, because they will bring at least 20,000 down the F3 with them. So I think it's going to be a wonderful atmosphere. If I think back to 10 years ago at Allianz for the grand final against Western Sydney Wanderers, we packed out behind the goal. The rest was Western Sydney Wanderers supporters, but the atmosphere that day was just phenomenal. And I think we're going to have something similar on Saturday night. Look, all said and done, regardless of who you support or whether you even support one of the grand final teams, it's going to be a hell of a game of football. This is a grand final that I'm really looking forward to because of the way both teams play, their form leading into the finals throughout the season, the stars on show, both with great attacks, two greatest goal scorers of the season in Jamie McLaren and Jason Cummings, got all the ingredients. This is going to be a ripper.
Manchester City, hot favourites to win the FA Cup final against their crosstown rivals, Manchester United, who are without Anthony Martial as well, who got injured in the last game of the Premier League season, Mossy.
Yeah, in much the same vein as the Mariners, if there's one team that can knock Melbourne City off in a one-off game, I reckon Manchester United are sort of in the same bucket. I know they've sort of rebuilt their mojo a little bit this season. Ten Hag's done a brilliant job getting rid of Cristiano Ronaldo was the first step in that, and that's all due respect to a fantastic player, but that had to happen to start the rebuild, and it's proven to be true. They could do this, Manchester United. I don't think they will, but they could. Manchester Derby for an FA Cup final. If there's one team on this planet that wants to stop Manchester City winning a treble to equal what Manchester United did in 1999, it's Manchester United. So I think it's going to be a fantastic game. Saturday night, we've got the A-League Grand Final kicking off at 7:30. We've got the FA Cup final at midnight. Ange Postecoglou could get the treble at 2:30 a.m. Sunday morning. So what a smorgasbord of football we got Saturday night.
What's the latest with Ange overseas, mate? Ange Postecoglou?
They play Inverness, who are in the Championship. So that's the league below the Scottish Premier League. And Celtic, they win this one. This is the Scottish Cup final. So they've already got the league and the FA Cup. If they win this one, that's the treble, and Ange goes down. He's already in folklore for Celtic, but if he wins the treble, it'll just be phenomenal. And that could, I don't know, I think the fire is getting a little bit hotter with Ange moving on. I'm starting to change my views on whether he will stay or go. And
I think the timing's perfect, mate. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you, Loz. I really do, because, you know, strike while the iron's hot. Yep. If it's Spurs that are knocking, it's a good fit for an Ange, given where Spurs are right now.
What's your bet then? How are you playing your multi this weekend, Mossy?
It's a tough. I don't know how you do these ones, Mido, so you might have to help me out. But the multi is the Mariners into Manchester City, so straight. Two-league multi there.
Okay.
But the same game multi, as I said, for the grand final, I'm going with Mariners in 90 minutes or Melbourne City in extra time.
Okay, we'll have that on Bet's Friends. I'll just keep it at that, Mossy, that for the
now.
Moment. I'm going to have to go through the menus here, which won't be great radio.
Ball,
so you go and have a great day and a fantastic weekend, and we'll chat on Monday.
Yeah, look forward to it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Want to win $1,000 in cash by owning in the Racing League? That's exactly what you can do, apart from the thrill of booting home a horse you own and earning your pro rata share of prize money. Every time one of your horses wins, there's an extra $1,000 in cash to be won by one lucky owner. TRL have already chalked up 31 winners across their three teams. If you're not an owner, just simply go to trl.net. That's trl.net. Click on the team that you want to join. And when one of your horses wins, there's an extra $1,000 cash to be won. That's trl.net. Conditions apply. TRL AFSL license 223671. Brad Davison, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Very well, thanks. We're going better probably than Fireburn's connections after she was scratched from the Queensland Oaks yesterday.
Yeah, I was found to be lame there yesterday. So scratched from the Queensland Oaks. Gary Fortelli maintaining that it's just her weird gait, but that look, he accepts the umpire's decision. Obviously, very disappointing for Connections. It's a tricky situation, isn't it, guys? Because you know, obviously, the people looking at it, the experts. You know, every horse is different, I suppose. But at the end of the day, they can't talk to us. They can't let us know. So yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes they're going to get right, and you know, sometimes the Connections are going to think it's something else. But there's no right or wrong answer with it. But it's just one of those things, and the way it goes sometimes. So we won't see Fiverr in there, unfortunately, in the Oaks tomorrow.
Talk us through this card tomorrow at Rose Hill, Davo. What races are you really looking forward to, and where's your best bets at?
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a decent card, Loz. The Winter Cup is the feature, the listed Winter Cup over the 2,400 metres. Look, an off-season type of meeting, but the fields are holding up pretty well overall. We should be on a good track there tomorrow as well. Interesting, the rail goes out the 6 metres. We haven't used that rail position for some time, and the last three or four times we've been in that rail position, it's been a massive bias towards fencing run runners. So looking for low barrier draws there tomorrow, I think, are going to be a massive advantage. So keep that in mind, punters. It's going to be hard, I would imagine, to make ground from the back. So you want to be focusing on low barrier draws, horses. You can make ground from the sort of midfield, even back, if you're on the rail. But if you're sort of wide and coming down the middle, generally speaking, it's a very, very hard rail position to do that. So, Yeah, look, I think it's a meeting to focus on low barriers, so that's what we'll be doing there tomorrow, I think. So the filly in the first is the best there, Loz. I always get this horse's name wrong, so I'm just going to look at it one more time. Sudot La Vita. Look, she was terrific there first up at Canterbury. Produced the best last 200 performance of the day on that occasion. She steps up to 1,300 metres. She draws the inside barrier to find that fence-in run. And look, she's been heavily back, 360 into 225. I think she might start around the $2.40 mark. That would be my sort of thought. So probably wait now and back her late in the piece. But I think she's the best of the day there. And in the feature race, the listed Winter Cup, I do like the look of race 6, number 5, Herman Hess. His horse failed in the Andrew Ransdon last time out. But look, that was a brutally run race. It was 2,800 metres. Drops back to 2,400 metres here. Interesting to note, this horse said 3 runs at the track and distance, and on my ratings, if he runs up to any of those performances, he's a length clear of the field here. So, yeah, he really loves the Rose Hill 2,400 metres, expecting to bounce back. He was terrific behind He's a Shocker and Right You Are 2 starts ago in a pretty decent race, and I just think bringing that Melbourne form here tomorrow, I think it'd be hard to beat. Like I said, loves the track and distance, and expect him to start a little bit shorter than the $4.60 on offer as well.
Okay, so Davo's bets tomorrow, Rose Hill, race 1, number 8, Tuta La Vita, 225, and race 6, number 5, Herman Hess, $4.60. And before you go, Davo, we'll get a quick thought, quick opinion on Loz's multi for tomorrow, where Loz, you're looking at African Daisy, is it, in race 9?
Yep.
To run top 3, and I don't know if he's done Flemington Davo, but he's got Shay Ha to run top 2 in race 7.
Yeah, look, I won't be able to comment on Flemington. I haven't quite got to race number 7 just yet, but I do have African Daisy on top as well, Loz. I thought the run first up was terrific. Just got way too far back. Maps to be behind the lead, and importantly, getting that fence in run as well. So I think second up, she's won at the track and distance before. I think she's ready to strike, and yep, I think she's the one to beat there. So good luck with that one, Loz.
Cheers, Davo.
Good on you, Davo. Have a great one.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend. Right. Cheers.
Brad Davidson there, and Loz's multi open on the Tab app and website. Click on Sport and today's offers, where BlockBet is also open. And after the news, the great Steve Blocker-Roach will join us for the last hour of the program.